Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories connecting you to your own inner energy system and that of universal life healing forces to discover the inner world of human and divine possibilities. I am most delighted to welcome Dr. Susan Chomsky, a former guest on Healing From Within, whose show discussing her book, Awaken Your Divine Intuition, may be heard on my website, CherylGlick.com, for the August 2016 lineup. And today we will discuss her new book, Color Your Chakras. Hello, Dr. Chomsky. Thank you for joining us today to share a most important discussion about a somewhat overlooked aspect of our physical and energy systems, the chakras, which sustains our health and vital life force. So, welcome. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad to be here with you today, Cheryl. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Susan, as listeners of Healing From Within know, my guests and I share our personal experiences and new awareness of life in all its many possibilities, revealing we are spiritual beings having a physical life and learning more about universal energy and how it relates to our physical world and life, shows us how we may know ourselves, our emotions, and create a healthy, positive, successful life journey. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Dr. Chomsky helps people take command of their lives in positive ways as she shares forms of meditation, prayer, affirmation, and intuition, which uplift and empower individuals to move in grace and comfort throughout any or all life challenges. And that's a wonderful thing and a wonderful gift to have. Once you learn how to help it along, we will discuss the energy centers themselves, the deities, the elements, the subtle energy currents that sustain our life force. Susan, as you know, I often love our audiences to take a look at my guests' beginning exposure to the world of their personal possibilities and perhaps describe a person, event, or value from their earlier days which has influenced them and contributed to the adult version of the child they once were. So think back for a moment. I always love to hear these stories. They're so different and so wonderful.
Well, the thing is that when I was a hippie in the 60s, mm-hmm. I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was reading every possible spiritual book that I could read. I was really very interested in experiencing spiritual awakening, in achieving higher states of consciousness. So I was trying every experiment that I could, as many of us were back then, because those of us who were flower children, we were really interested and very serious about spiritual development. I was reading books like Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. I read the Buddhist scriptures. I was reading Tibetan Book of the Dead. I read the books by Alan Watts, and Alan Watts said that you need to find a meditation guide. Well, in 1966 in Berkeley, California, you did not go to the Yellow Pages and look for a meditation guide or anything remotely similar to that. So I asked my roommate, I said, well, how do I find a meditation guide? He said, well, have you ever considered trying to meditate on your own? And I said, well, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I lay down on my bed, and I sort of prayed for or asked for a meditation. I didn't even know you're supposed to sit up in meditation. That's how clueless I was. So I lay there and praying for a meditation. Immediately, I was propelled into an ecstatic state. I could feel a cord or rush of energy rushing from the tips of my toes all the way to the top of my head. I felt that I was plugged into an electric socket and in a very ecstatic way. So little did I realize, I figured, well, yeah, I guess this is meditation. Little did I realize that I had not only just had my first meditation, but I also had my Kundalini awakening at the same time, which is the subject of today's book, color your chakras.
And then you also, Susan, did something which is very important. You asked. You simply asked to be connected and to be awakened. And you want to know something? This is really funny. When you were just describing that, I could see my sister, who was like you. She went off to California and lived there 10 years in the 60s. And I was not interested at that time in any of these subjects. It wasn't until about 25 years ago that I had my own experience that awakened a need in me to learn more about these metaphysical events and experiences. And I was always sensitive as a child to energy, but it wasn't sort of encouraged in my family. And yet, my younger sister went off and researched just like you did, exactly like you did. So it's about timing. We all will be called, and we will all have curiosity about these questions of who we are, where we come from, or what is the reality of a physical life and a spiritual life. But it comes to us when the time is right, I believe. So let's now fast forward. Let's learn something about our energy system. You talk about auras, and people are very interested in that. How can knowledge of our inner world sustain us in the physical realities of today? So how does knowing about this energy help us?
Yes. Well, the reality is that our energy field, otherwise known as the auric field or the aura, is what is sustaining us. That is exactly what is giving us life, what is sustaining life within the body. And what not only is sustaining us, but causing greater success, greater well-being, greater charisma, greater influence, greater love, attractiveness. All of this has to do with our energy field. It doesn't have to do with our physicality. It has to do with our energy field.
Yeah, but often the medical field will tell us it's all about the blood flow and the hormones and the organs and the glands and the, you know, circulation system, and they will focus only on the physical. Many of them don't have very much of an idea about the aura, the energy, the electrical impulse systems, the chakra system. So why is that?
The reason they don't know anything about it is because when you dissect a corpse, you will not find a chakra, you will not find a nadi, you will not find meridian, you will not find acupressure, acupuncture points. So according to Western medicine and Western science, these things do not exist because they cannot see them, feel them, touch them.
But they've always existed, and the Eastern philosophies all wrote about it. So how come it wasn't picked up? You know, you would think that they would, you know, tap into some of this, because it's very important to work with both systems, the Western and Eastern, to really approximate who we are as spiritual and physical beings. But let's go on to, what is prana? This will bring us into a talk of a lot of different things that are connected to energy. So tell us something about that.
Right. So prana is a Sanskrit word, and it means life force energy. In China, they call it qi, and in Japan, they call it ki. It is life force energy, and this life force energy is in one of the layers of your subtle body, which is called the pranamaya kosha, or the vital sheath of your subtle body. So in that sheath, you have conduits of subtle energy, which are called nadi, and the prana, which is the subtle life force energy, is flowing through these conduits of energy. They're also called meridian, and where many of these conduits of energy intersect, that is what is called chakra. Chakra means wheel. So it's a wheel because it has a hub, which is where many of these conduits of pranic energy are intersecting and forming a plexus, and also it has spokes. The spokes are the radiations of life force energy that are radiating from the chakra. So the chakra are actually regulating your entire physical system. They are very, very vital. If you didn't have chakra, you would not be alive.
Yeah, no breath, no heartbeat, no lungs, nothing would move. But let's go back for a minute to say it in the way you said it in the book, which is very good. It is formless, ubiquitous, potent energy that sustains both living individuals and also the cosmic order. It is the power within everything. There's cosmic prana, which is the universal energy that unifies the living and non-living spirit, and then there's prana, which is the life force in water, sunlight, air, thought, everything in the physical world. So I think that described it so well, and it is something, you're right, it can't be seen, but it is reality nonetheless. And I'm a Reiki energy practitioner, so I deal with ki, Reiki, the energy of the universe, and my clients can feel it move through them, and I explain that I'm not doing it. I am just a channel for this energy to find its way to them. It's an intelligent energy. It's a loving, compassionate, and it is where we come from, and it's where we go after a physical life. So I thought that was important to put in here. Now, you talk about the nadis, the Ida and the Pingala.
So the Ida and Pingala Nadi are regulating your sympathetic and parasympathetic sympathetic aspects of your autonomic nervous system. That's why they're very important. The Ida is connected to your left nostril, and the Pingala is connected to your right nostril. So Ida, that's the reason why in yoga practices they do the pranayama, the alternate breathing exercises, to balance and harmonize the autonomic nervous system, the two different aspects of the autonomic nervous system, namely the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. So these aspects of the nervous system are connected to the Ida and the Pingala nadis, and every 115 minutes your nostrils will switch. In other words, at any given moment you have more air running through one nostril or the other nostril, and every 115 minutes in average individuals those will switch. So there's kind of like a biorhythm to human life with the switching of a more restful time to a more active time, approximately every 115 minutes.
Yeah. So what happens, for example, because I find my right nostril sometimes more closed than my left. So that's the
Pingala, which is the sympathetic nervous system.
Which
sympathetic
one?
Is the right nostril. If your right nostril,
yes,
which is the right side of your body, which is your the sympathetic aspect of your nervous system, has to do with greater activity, higher heart rate, higher metabolic rate, fight or flight reaction, all of that sort of thing. Greater physical activity, more blood flow to the extremities, adrenal glands working more,
so
fight or flight reaction.
Yeah, so what happens when that one closes a little bit more than the other?
Well, when the Ida nadi, which is the left nostril, when that one is more open,
yes,
then you're more in a restful state. That's when metabolic activities are going on, such as digestion and things like that. You're in a more restful state. You're the opposite of the fight or flight reaction, meaning more peaceful.
Ah, that's very interesting. Very interesting. So now I can understand that a little better, and so can our listeners pay attention to that. But let's go on to something interesting, the caduceus. Now, how is it connected to the nadis and the chakras? It is a symbol.
Right. The caduceus is the symbol of medicine, of medical profession. It's been used as a symbol for medical profession. But medical doctors do not realize that this symbol actually is a symbol for the Ida nadi, the Pingala nadi, and the Sushumna nadi. The Sushumna nadi is the third most important nadi running through your subtle body. The Sushumna nadi runs right through your spinal canal, all the way from your tailbone to the top of your head. And that nadi is the nadi through which kundalini flows, which is a subtle form of prana that is a spiritual form of prana that awakens your chakras and awakens higher consciousness.
Yeah,
So when Kundalini awakens,
the Kundalini energy is focused at the base root chakra of the spine, and when it's awakened, it helps with spiritual enlightenment, an opening, an awakening. But it's showing the focus, that the focus on the physical and the spiritual are together. And you would think that the medical profession would be aware of what that symbol represents from ancient times. So to me, it's kind of funny that they don't really know what the symbol represents. It represents our spiritual and our physical life intertwined, and they cannot be separated. So we need to focus on the development of both aspects of living. So I found that very, very interesting, and I wanted to bring it up for our listeners to know about. And you also did talk about it. It's an ancient symbol from the staff of Hermes, or Mercury in Greek and Roman mythology. So it goes way back to the beginning of our understanding of our spiritual and our physical life. Now let's get on to the kashas and the mental body. We're such complicated beings. We really are so much more than we appear to be. Tell us something about that.
Yes, well, we have something called koshas. Koshas are energy sheaths. So we have five major koshas. We have the gross physical body, which is called the anamaya kosha, meaning the food sheath, because it's made of food, sustained by food, and becomes food for something else after we're gone. So that's why it's called the food sheath. And then the next one is called the vital sheath, or the pranamaya kosha, which is made of prana or pranic energy. And that is made up of these conduits of energy that I was mentioning before, the nadi and the chakra centers. You know, that's all in the vital body. And then the next one is what we call manomaya kosha, which is a mental emotional body. And in that body you find your mind, which is your attention, the way that you experience the world through that, your mind. And then also your senses, through which you experience life, and even your subtle life, that's your manomaya kosha, a mental body, and also your emotions, mental, emotional body. And then the next sheath, which is called the jnanamaya kosha, that is your intellect ego sheath, which is your intellect is how you decide and make, you discern, you make decisions and so on, and your ego is who you think you are. It's not who you really are, but it is who you think you are. So that's the Vijnanamaya Kosha. And then finally, you have what we call the Anandamaya Kosha, which is your vital sheath, your causal body, which causes you to individuate, to be separate from the environment. So these are your five sheaths that they talk about, Panch Kosha in Sanskrit. Those are the five main sheaths of your physical and subtle bodies.
So are the threefold bodies included in those five sheets, the gross, physical,
the threefold,
the subtle, and the causal body? So those three are three of them.
Okay. Exactly. There are three, and those three become five because the subtle body, or sukshma sharira, your subtle body consists of your vital body, mental body, and intellect, ego body.
Okay. Okay, got it. So let us go on. Now, you just alluded to this, and now we're really going to get to it. So what is our true nature?
So prana is the life force energy. That's within the breath, within the air, within food, within water, sunlight, and sustains the universe. It is life force energy, but it is not the ultimate absolute bliss consciousness, Sat-Chit Ananda. That is the absolute, that is eternal, that is nameless, formless, has no beginning or end. Well, Atman is the individualized aspect of that. You have the I am, you have the I am that is universal, and you have the I am that is individual. They're both eternal, though.
Okay.
They're consciousness, but they're not prana. Prana is something separate.
Okay, prana is what feeds us, but that is who we are, the I am.
That's who we are.
Atman, eternal part of the universe, individually and collectively. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now I think I'm clear, and now I think our listeners are clear on that. So let and that's an important question.
It
Now,
is.
now
A good
that
question.
yeah, now that we have some understanding of the layers of our physical and energy structures, we can get to the all important chakras. What does the word mean? You started to say it was a wheel of light. It is a vortex of energy that sustains our physical body. And tell us just a little something about that, because it's
Right.
there's a great deal of information on it. Just a little bit about it.
Right. Right. So the chakra, that is a, in Sanskrit, that word chakra means wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a wheel, meaning it's a hub of energy, it's a plexus of energy, and there are seven major chakra that are in your subtle body that are regulating various organs and that have, and their function is to keep you alive and
mm-hmm.
to maintain your body in a healthy way. They are associated with endocrine glands, they're associated with organs, and they're associated with emotional parts of your emotions, and your personality and all of that are tied in with the chakras as well. Those are the seven major chakras that are connected to elements, and they're elements like earth, air, fire, water, ether. They're also connected to organs in your physical body and so on. But there are seven other chakras as well. And in my book, Color Your Chakras, I talk about the 14 chakras that are mentioned in the ancient scriptures of India. These chakras are all very important, and they're all mentioned in the ancient scriptures.
Now, the chakras, I'm an energy practitioner, so the chakras relate. There's the root, and they go all the way up to the crown of your head, the seven main ones that energy practitioners would work with, and there are many others. But they relate to different areas of your life. So if there is a hit or a happening to one of the chakras, and that chakra can buckle or close because there was a sadness or wound or something threw you off, it can eventually, if not corrected, lead to an illness or something presenting in the physical body. So we want to make sure that we do energy work, that we begin to understand that we are more than just the physical body, and we don't just have to worry about exercise, although that's very wonderful, nutrition, exercise, and living a balanced life. But we also, the more we learn about energy and who we are as energy beings, the healthier and happier and the better the world will be. Now, what are the benefits of coloring the book, Color Your Chakras? And what do you want
mm-hmm.
And what do you want people to take away with them after working with this book?
Right. When people use the book Color Your Chakras, they are imbibing the qualities of the chakras, because what happens is whatever you place your attention on grows stronger in your life. So when you're actually focusing on the chakra yantra, meaning the symbol of the chakra, also the Sanskrit letters that are on the, what we call the petals or radiations of pranic energy that are coming from the chakra. There are certain sounds, vibrations, so you're focusing on that when you're coloring it, and you're focusing on the chakra itself, and you're also focusing on the deities that are associated with the chakras, which they're not, I mean, you could call them deities, but what they are is they're elements of nature, and also there's a male deity and a female doorkeeper. And when you focus your attention on these by coloring, then you're imbibing the qualities of the chakras. Many people who have actually just picked up the book and thumbed through it, they immediately feel elevated in consciousness just by looking at the pictures.
Yes.
And that is true.
Yes,
it does
symbols.
Do that. It elevates your consciousness.
Right. And does it matter what colors or crayons you use? Or you can do whatever you feel and it will still work and empower the chakras to vibrate and be healthier and for you to feel good. Does it matter the colors? There's many drawings in your book. I mean, parts to color. Does it matter?
Right. So on the left-hand side of the page, you're going to find an explanation of the illustration that's on the right-hand side. On the right-hand page, you're going to see an illustration, it'll be either a deity or a yantra, meaning a symbol of some kind. And then on the left side, you're going to see an explanation. And in that explanation, often I will mention what the colors are, and you're welcome to use those colors if you so choose, or you can use whatever color you want. You're still going to receive benefit from coloring the book.
Okay.
And even coloring the book, if you just read the book and look at the pictures, you're also going to gain tremendous benefit because, as I said, just flipping through the pages or looking at the pages elevates your consciousness. It just does. I don't exactly know why it does, but it definitely does.
It definitely does, because I was looking at it to prepare for the show, and somebody walked by my room and looked at it and said, "Oh, I have to have that book," because she saw that it would help her feel good and raise her consciousness and be more creative in her thinking. And I was amazed at her reaction to it, actually. So I want to thank you, Dr. Susan Chomsky, author of Color Your Chakras, for sharing your time, passion, and energy with the hope of awakening people to their own divine nature to help themselves and the physical world as more people become attuned to these teachings and practices. For more information and to purchase this book, go to drsusan.org. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have learned more about the energetic centers of the body known as the chakras and how they support and help us merge our energetic and physical lives. Utilizing this knowledge is the key to success, progress, well-being, and a greater understanding of our human and spiritual connections. As Dr. Chomsky writes, chakras are vital energy centers in your subtle body. Their function is to control pranic circulation throughout your system. There are hundreds of chakras. However, 7 primary chakras maintain life in your body as they control bodily functions near the region of the spine. They also govern sense perception, mental activity, higher awareness, and spiritual awakening. Susan and I would ask you to begin your spiritual awakening, if you haven't already, which will result in a greater development of your human potential, enhance your spiritual gifts, and bring more joy to your life and those around you. Read, go to meditation groups, experience energy healing sessions, and allow yourself to connect to your inner soul and intuition and chakra vortexes, and open your mind to the inner feelings of your heart wisdom so you may know yourself as the energetic presence you really are. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear about the world of universal energies and the realities of life that you may think or dream about, and to learn all the possibilities for self-development and mastering your emotions and physical challenges. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com or WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you for listening.